This podcast is part of a special series on science policy and commentary from Science Magazine.
This May, South Africa won the right to host the majority of the Square Kilometre Array, a radio telescope that will be 50 times more sensitive and 10,000 times faster at surveying our skies than ever before. 70% of the facility will be built in Africa, with the remainder in Australia. Roy Martens, professor at the University of the Western Cape, is one of the researchers working with the SKA. His editorial with George Ellis appears in our August 24th issue. Winning the bid for the SKA, was that a long shot or was the win expected?
I don't think there was any complacency in terms of expecting the win. I mean, it's been a long process. This bid has been going on for years. The International SKA project narrowed down the competitors to South Africa and Australia. And it really was a neck-and-neck race in a way. But undoubtedly, the SKA is going to make a bigger impact in Africa than it would in Australia, given the legacy of colonialism and apartheid in terms of the low level of science and technology relative to other countries, in particular Australia.
Is this something that's meaningful for the country? I mean, do people feel like winning the bid was something that they were excited about?
The government has been championing this bid. And so insofar as one can judge, I think it did make a big impact. The government here has actually decided specifically that a blue sky science project like the SKA is just the kind of thing that would provide a kind of iconic symbol to help draw young people into science and technology.
And was that one of the main reasons why South Africa bid for the SKA?
That's precisely it. I mean, they decided that the capacity to do it was there. And the decision was then made on the basis that a big science project like this could provide a flagship for a government policy to draw more of the younger generation to science and technology. And in particular, of course, what we call here the disadvantaged community, those who have been disadvantaged under apartheid, primarily black Africans. I don't know if you're aware of this, but one of the features of the apartheid system in South Africa was specifically to exclude black African school children from science and technology, and in a sense to educate them for labor. And so that has left a devastating legacy. And one of the things that this country has to do is to turn that legacy around.
I don't know if you can speak to this, but was the win meaningful for other countries in Africa, you know, particularly the SKA partners?
First of all, I should point out that there are a lot of students from those countries currently studying astronomy and related sciences in South Africa under the framework of the SKA. And for example, I have a number of PhD students. One of them is from Kenya, one from Sudan, one from Nigeria. When they go back to their countries, as they do from time to time, you know, undoubtedly they'll be taking that message back into their countries. Astronomy is a fledgling science in those partner countries, but nevertheless, it's growing.
And do you think the SKA is one of the reasons why it is growing?
Absolutely. I mean, in the eight partner countries in Africa, outside of South Africa, all of those eight countries have now started astronomy courses in at least one of their universities. And their various technological moves to build radio telescopes or to convert telecommunications dishes into radio telescopes. Even a few telescopes with the associated infrastructure will make a difference to those countries. You'll require local input into the engineering and the construction, and the scientists and engineers needed to maintain these instruments and to deal with the data that's coming out from them. So it's kind of a long-term way of encouraging the growth of science and technology.
So do you think this could change the scientific landscape in South Africa and in Africa as a whole?
I think it has the potential to do that. Africa has a huge reservoir of potential talent in science and in engineering, and a lot of it is largely untapped. And a project like this can provide the focus for actually starting to uncover some of the amazing talent that's out there. And we've already seen that just in terms of some of the brilliant students who've come through the SKA program from their countries in Africa. A school teacher who was in Nigeria a few years ago came to South Africa with SKA funding to do a master's degree. He's now doing a PhD degree. He's absolutely brilliant. And next year he'll start a postdoctoral fellowship with myself, actually. And he's just one example of the kind of talent that is out there, but which needs something like this project to actually uncover it.
Do you know whether the general public is aware that South Africa is making this bid? Were they excited when they won?
I think people who watch the television or look at the newspapers wouldn't have been able to miss this. And, you know, my experience has been that people do actually support it. People are excited about it. I suppose there's a level of patriotism involved there. It's hard to say just how broadly that moves into the general population. You know, the mass of people in this country have got concerns which are far more immediate in terms of trying to find jobs, deal with housing problems, deal with basic problems of sanitation and water delivery and electricity and so on. Obviously, those things are much more important to the general public here than the SKA.
Of course.
But the excitement of the SKA can still exist on top of those problems.
And is one of the hopes that the excitement will inspire more young people to pursue science education?
I think so. In my own experience recently, I gave a public talk where a number of high school students came along, and I spoke about the SKA, and I had a lot of questions afterwards from these high school students who were very keen on the idea. So I think it really has the potential to do that. The science that the SKA will be able to do is awe-inspiring, and I think that's what actually grabs young people. It's not when you go and tell them, look, there's going to be so many hundreds of millions of dollars and so many jobs and so many roads and power lines and look at these fancy dishes. It's when you actually tell them what those dishes can do. Now, what are we going to be able to learn about the universe with this fantastic instrument? That's what inspires youngsters to go into science.
Roy Martens, thank you so much.
Well, it was a pleasure.
Read Roy Martens and George Ellis's editorial, A New Dawn for Science in Africa, in Science This Week. I'm Meghna Suchdev. On behalf of Science Magazine and our publishers AAAS, thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to a policy podcast, part of a series on science policy and commentary from Science Magazine. The full Science podcast is released Thursdays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time.